Devils Productions presents The Great Deep.
Hello and welcome to episode number 37 of The Great Deep. My name is Ryan Calder, your host for the show, and this series runs parallel to the music of The Great Deep album, explores a bit deeper some of the issues and ideas and themes from the music. Have you ever thought what the soundtrack to your life would sound like? Years ago, my wife and I played a house concert at good friends of ours, where we basically told our story and used the songs as part of the narrative. It was an incredibly therapeutic way of performing, but unwittingly it also ended up being quite a thought-provoking show for the audience. My mate came up to me at the end of the show and he said, "I wonder what the soundtrack to my life would be like." It was only recently that I remember that conversation, when I started perusing through some old photos and boxes of memories, and it struck me how those pictures and visual memories are connected with a sound and a collection of melodies and lyrics and artists that I was listening to and that influenced my life. So in some ways it's fun trip going down memory lane. If you think back on the years of your own life, you'll probably have certain things that really stand out and are intricately connected to the music, and there's a fun sense of nostalgia. On the other hand, it gives you a moment to pause and actually think about what you're listening to and why it's a big deal. Some stuff is good for you to listen to and some stuff is not. I thought I'd go through some anecdotal soundtrack clips from my own life and share some thoughts on them. And I'll start right in the beginning. So as a child of the 80s, growing up in South Africa, music was linked to TV shows. And my earliest memories of TV shows are these two.
Pumpkin Patch, oh Pumpkin Patch.
And it's amazing how so much of music is about the simple things like when and where. I mean, I remember Pumpkin Patch in particular was always sandwiched between coming home from school and going outside to play in the garden. And the routine was, you come home, do your homework, Pumpkin Patch, and then go play in the garden until the sun went down. We have these long afternoons playing in the garden. The morning TV shows were memorable because there was a cartoon in the slot right before the news and right before we departed for school. So when I was young, it was Grootbek, which is Afrikaans for Big Mouth, which was a cartoon about a shark. And at one stage, there was also a long season of Popeye on the morning show. And then, as a young boy, there were some staples. As we got older, we were allowed to stay up later. And I remember the prime time TV slot was Fridays and Saturdays, around 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. And those were the shows that we grew up with as children. So for my parents, it was the radio, like listening to Springbok Radio and shows like Force's Favorites. For us, though, it was a handful of heroes. In this particular case, B.A. Baracus, Hannibal, and Murdoch. I love it when a plan comes together. It's amazing how those characters become things we aspired to. For me, it was B.A. He was the coolest of them all. What's also interesting is how parts of the music stick in your subconscious for years and years. It was only on hearing this recently that the guitar riff in the intro of the song is very similar to that from Let It Rise off the On the Edge album. Airwolf was particularly cool for me because it translated into visual literacy and the application of building stuff. So I would go straight to my Lego blocks on the weekend after Airwolf and try and build my own awesome helicopter. MacGyver was something we could all aspire to and something that we loved growing up. It resonated for me and my family in strange ways. MacGyver refused to carry a firearm, the same as my dad during his stint in the Navy. There was a kind of kindred spirit there, I suppose. And here was a guy who used his brains and his handy Swiss Army knife to fight crime and solve challenges. And there was always adventure. He was kind of a polar opposite for me in terms of B.A. Baracus. But somewhere between those two characters, I found myself aspiring. When I was about 10 years old, a band from Sweden started taking over the charts. My friends were completely into them and the hype around them, and they signaled a new kind of cool. So big guitars, big lyrics, and an image that said anti-establishment. I remember at the time it was not the kind of music that was flooding our own home, being the children of a good old Presbyterian minister. Even though my dad himself had emerged out of the folk rock era and he was into Cat Stevens and Simon and Garfunkel and John Denver, all of that music had a big influence on our family's musical repertoire, as well as the amazing Jim Croce. But Roxette was the flavor of the month for my generation growing up. I remember how Joyride, the album, just seemed to take over the conversations at break time and friends' parties on the weekend. This was the soundtrack of my preteen life. And by the end of primary school, the teachers were banning songs like Sleeping in My Car from our supposed virgin ears. At that time, I was listening to Stephen Curtis Chapman's Live Adventure album on repeat. It was a full recording of a full concert, and it took the listener on a journey. It was brilliant. It was overtly Christian, Bible-based songwriting, great musicianship, and I loved hearing Stephen's anecdotes in between songs. As I began high school, music became a more integral part of my life, and I remember the season of the Rugby World Cup in 1995 in South Africa, and how this song, World and Union, defined a new era of reconciliation. I wasn't a big fan of PJ Powers, but I loved what the song represented in that season. The unity, the coming together of cultures and skin colors, and just an example of proper leadership in Nelson Mandela. In many ways, it shaped my thinking. It was also a time when I started playing music, and it was Faye Forbes who recruited me for a musical that incorporated a whole whack of songs. And it wasn't just one thing. It was a history lesson and a trip around the world. Everything from Michael Jackson to the Click song, The Beatles to Lebo M, and native tunes from Australia, China, Europe, America. It was like my musical education, and I was hooked for life. I've written a blog about Faye's influence on my life, which I'll link to in the show notes. And Mrs. Forbes was a great music teacher because she taught us about lyrics and what they meant. So I remember her explaining Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer and Cher's It's in His Kiss. It was fascinating hearing her insights. My high school years were during the second half of the 90s, which is when grunge started to upset the music charts, and Nirvana was the buzzword. So along with their kind of angry image and sour-looking demeanor, for me, the juxtaposition of the lyrics made a big impression. The famous MTV Unplugged session where Come As You Are was featured, I remember my teenage friends talking about. And I was interested in the vibe of Smells Like Teen Spirit and learning to play it as well as the lyrics. I remember R.E.M.'s Everybody Hurts and Eric Clapton's Change the World, and I remember playing it on cricket tour, and everyone thought I was seriously brilliant. For me, though, the songs evoked more questions than answers. I was interested in what people were trying to say. So Nirvana was cool, but they didn't go further than identifying with teenage angst and emotions. But then DC Talk emerged, and a new era of contemporary Christian music with it. DC Talk represented both the vibe, but also carried a message. Along with them were bands like Jars of Clay and Newsboys. It was music with lyrics that pointed in a direction, and at that stage of my life, I was lapping it up. What are the answers to life's big questions is what I really wanted to know. And if an artist's lyrics didn't have direction or meaning, I just wasn't interested. During my university years, I studied fine arts and psychology, and for me, they were difficult years. I was struggling post-high school. I'd been in leadership positions, and it started out in the big wide world of academics and working part-time jobs. And I found myself, once again, with more questions than answers. And those songs and artists that I had admired so much were growing tired. And I was searching, but none of the usual avenues satisfied the big questions for me. In the Christian scene, bands like Hillsong and other church movements were popular, but they all sounded the same, I felt, and it seemed too safe and Christianese for me, and it didn't answer the real-life questions that I was going through. There was church on Sunday, where everything looked and sounded clean, and then there was the rest of the week, which was gritty and edgy and dangerous, and no one seemed to be identifying with that. I wasn't too much into clubs, so I found myself interested in singer-songwriters. And traveling around, listening to local bands and the occasional touring artists, I found myself playing and gigging to pay my way through university. And the music I was hearing and experiencing was a lot more exciting in bars and music venues and festivals than it was in churches. Years went by, and then one day at the beginning of a year, I heard Jamie Cullum.
What a difference a day made.
Jamie opened a door to Cole Porter and George Gershwin that I hadn't really known before. Incredibly, it evoked in me memories of being at my grandparents' house, the sounds of the roaring 20s and the swinging 40s. And Porter and Gershwin would actually be the first musical that my wife and I would perform in together. The lyrics, the mood, the music all reached into my soul in a way that nothing had since the days of DC Talk. And while they were so different, they speak the same language to me. Music should provide some answers for us. It should leave us feeling better about the world and it should lift our soul's gaze.
You were mine, Lord, what a difference.
Well, if you share any of these memories and would like to weigh in here, please feel free to get in touch with me via email or Facebook, Instagram or Twitter. All the links will be posted in the show notes. But that's it for this episode of the podcast. As usual, don't forget to like, subscribe, share if you enjoyed it, and check out other episodes. Leave a comment or join the discussion. Hope you've enjoyed it and sharing these memories with me. And until next time, keep pondering the great deep.